comfortable? Okay, no sleeping. You're too wild. Well, turn it off, put the cold back on. That'll keep you awake, amen. All right, Matthew 4 and verse number 4, and then we're going to read 4:7, and then 4:10, and by God's grace, finish out this area. We're going to be talking about God's will quite a bit tonight, because that is what Satan is trying to get us not to do. Matthew 4:4, 4:7, and 4:10. Is everybody there? Amen. Brother Leslie is not here, but if he was here, he'd say get done at 6 o'clock because Minnesota Vikings comes on. So in honor of him, I'm trying to get done at 6 o'clock. So if anybody wants to see that game, who's anybody Seattle Seahawks fan? Okay, so you're the only ones. We'll stay late for you then, all right. I'm sure Mariah is watching that, and she'll probably send us a text message if they win and say, boo-hoo, Bears won, and so did we. Amen. So, amen. Matthew 4:4, let's read that together. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And come over to verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then come down to verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. And notice verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Luke's account says he left him for a season. You know, the devil's always going to be back. He'll leave you for a while, but he's always going to come back. Amen. And it's unfortunate, but it is true. He does not like you. He does not like me. And he will be back to pick on us. Amen. Father, help us tonight as we look at Satan's strategies, detecting and defeating him. Lord, we know the ultimate battle is already won. He cannot keep us out of heaven. But Lord, he can make earth just a miserable place to dwell in. So Lord, help us to get the victory and claim the promises of God, and Lord, to walk in the boldness and the fullness of the scriptures, and as Jesus Christ quoted, say, it is written, and then fulfill the will and the work and the word of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and I pray that you'll have your will and your way in our lives tonight, and help us once again, Lord, to leave here a little bit more knowledgeable about the will of God, what it is that you would have us to do, God, and then to gain more and more Christ-likeness in our lives that we can combat a lost and a dying world. We thank you so much for loving us, and thank you for giving us second and third and fourth and repeated chances when we fail you, Lord, and continue to help us to walk in your word and, Lord, fulfill your will. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Of course, I told you in the beginning of this study, this is talking about Satan's strategies, detecting and defeating him. And there's four basic areas that we're going to look at. Right now, we're looking at Satan as a deceiver. And that's what we're covering. The next one will be a little bit more on the sufferings that we go through. We're going to look at Satan as a destroyer or a devourer. And guess whose body was destroyed or devoured in Scripture? But he got it back. This person's body was ransacked. It was ransacked, totally ransacked. But he got it back. Not him. This guy's Old Testament. When we think of suffering, who we think about?
Job.
Just
say suffering,
Job. So Satan as a destroyer is what we're going to look at next, or a devourer. And what he likes to do is attack our bodies. That's what we talked about this morning. Satan loves to attack our bodies. And so if it's self-inflicted, that just makes it worse. Amen. He's already going to attack us as it is. And when we look at that, we're going to look at two extremes. Satan wants to get us to baby our bodies. And that's when we go to the extreme and say, I can't do anything because I'm thick. And he wants us to baby it. Or he wants us to go over here and do just the opposite and wear our bodies out and just go till we got no body left. And God doesn't want us to do any of those two. He wants us to go right down the middle and have balance. Know when it's time to take it easy. Know when it's time to suffer and push a little bit. And Job had to do just that. He had the balance. And that's what we're going to be looking at on the next lesson, of Satan as a destroyer. But we're going to finish out tonight, Satan as a deceiver. And we saw this about Satan as a deceiver. As a deceiver, Satan targets our mind. And we said this is based on our previous direction. He knows the way we used to go. And he will always bring it back. And number two, Satan as a deceiver, his tactics are lies. He tells you what appeals to your flesh because he knows on a weak moment you'll give in. Amen. You will and so will I. And then we saw Satan as a deceiver. His purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will. Now, if his purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will, what should we really try hard to know? God's will. If he's going to try to make us ignorant of God's will, we should make dead level sure that we know what it is. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And again, he does that by feeding unto our past direction. He knows the direction we used to go. And so he will try his hardest to appeal to our flesh, to try to get us to please our flesh and say, I don't want the faith, I want the flesh. Amen. And it's easy to do. Is that not what he did in Matthew chapter number 4? What did he appeal to each time? Jesus's flesh. You're hungry? Make some food. Hey, you say you're the Son of God? Cast yourself down. Hey, you say you're the Son of God? If you just bow down and worship me, look at what I'll give you. Appealing to his desires. And by the way, folks, if your desires are stronger for the flesh than they are for the faith, you will fall. That's just a fact. Because Satan will always offer you things for your flesh. He will. And if you fall, amen, heavy and big will be the fall, amen. So he wants you to fulfill his will, Satan that is, by default. Because if we're not fulfilling God's will, whose are we fulfilling? Satan's, by default, amen. So he will always give you an alternate to doing the will of God, amen. By the way, we were getting ready to come to church tonight. And I said, okay. I said, who's well enough to go to church tonight? Josh was, I'm going to church. My wife said, no, you're not. You go out there barking on people and coughing on people. Everybody, get away, man. Now, bless his heart, he wanted to come. He wanted, and praise God for it, amen. So my wife had to make him stay at home. But at the same time, sometimes we're not too sick, and guess what we say anyway? I'm sick. I'm staying home, amen. And that's the type of thing that Satan wants to appeal to your flesh. You feel sick, don't you? Achoo. Yeah, you need to stay home, amen. And there's limits and there's degrees to achoo, amen. So be careful because Satan will always give you an alternate to God's will, amen. And Jesus was not budging. Three times we see here, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10, he said, it is written. Now, before we look at the defense that we have, let's look at something about God's will. Because I got down here, God's will comes from God's heart. And it's not an impersonal thing, but a very personal matter with the Lord. He has a personal understanding of each of us and our natures, and he knows our names, and he knows our needs, and he tailors his will according to what he knows you and I can and should do. By the way, some of the things that I should and can do are not the same things that you should and can do. Somebody say amen. Some of the things that God would have you to do are not the things that he would have me to do. So it behooves you and I to know what God wants them to do. By the way, it was God's will for Job to suffer. Amen. It wasn't God's will for King David to suffer like that, although King David did suffer. It wasn't God's will for Job and King David to suffer like Paul, although Paul did suffer. And it wasn't God's will for either of them to suffer like Jonah suffered. God knows our name, and he knows where we live, and he knows what we need, and he knows what's going to be beneficial for us. Amen. And so when it comes to God's will, he wants us to know his will. By the way, off the top of our heads, what are some things that we know beyond a shadow of doubt this is the will of God? What do we know? What is that? Love one another. That's the will of God. We know that. Be in your local church. We know that's the will of God. Tithing. We know that's the will of God. Living righteously. We know that's the will of God. These are all things we know is the will of God. Yes. And everything give thanks. The will of God. Amen. Yes, Layla. Praying is the will of God. Yes. Staying in two sound jails. Amen. Huh? Reading God's word, amen. What else? Faith, having faith, amen. We know these are the will of God. I've got several verses here that talk about the will of God or the will of the Lord. And it's encouraging that throughout the scriptures, God is not playing a shell game with us. Think about that. Now, parents, do you want your children to come to you and say, Gregory, tell me what I'm thinking. And if you can't come up with it, you're in trouble, because this is what I want you to do. Do we do that to our children? What do we do with our children? We tell them what our will is. And what's their job then? To fulfill it. Amen. God is the same way. Can you imagine the trouble we'd be in if God said, I want you to do my will, but I'm not going to tell you what it is? Man, we'd be a mess. We'd be all over the place. Well, I'm doing this, God. Isn't that your will? No. Pow. I'm doing this. Is that your will, God? No. Pow. Smackdown. I'm doing this, God. Well, pow. Man, that would be a crazy life to live. I'm so glad that God tells us, this is what I want you to do. He doesn't play this game. And you know what? Even when God tells us what he wants us to do, what do we end up doing? What we want to do, not doing it. Amen. Is this what you want me to do, God? No, it's to your right. Is this my right, God? Surely you want me to do this, right, God? No, I want you to do that. You mean this? No, I mean that. You mean this? I know you want me to have it. And we do that with God. I know you want me to have this. And God is telling, saying, no, no. Oh, okay. If you want it so bad, take it. Now it's going to drop on your toe. Pow. And now you're not happy until you get hurt. Amen. And that's the way it is with us with God sometimes. God wants us to do one thing. We want to do something totally different. And even though he's telling us in black and white, this is what I want you to do. Amen. We're guilty of that because we're human beings and we're sinners. All of us fall prey to that. Amen. I remember when God called me to preach, and I was like, you know, surely you must be calling someone else. Maybe my wife you're calling. Amen. But you're not calling me. Amen. There's a guy over here. He said he wants to preach over here. And he's like, no, you, the bald one right there. You. And I'm just looking all around. I'm thinking, nah, he couldn't mean me. No. Amen. And God said, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple things here, amen, because God wants us to know his will. Let's go to Acts 22:14, first of all. And what are we looking at here? Satan's purpose is to make you and I ignorant to God's will, and we need to know what his will is. Acts 22:14, and if you get there before I get there, raise your hand, I'll call on you. Acts 22:14, I am there. Notice what it says. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest what? Know his will. When God chose you and I, guess what he wanted us to know? Thank you. He wanted us to know his will. To see that just one and should us hear the voice of his mouth. This is Paul the apostle speaking here. And he's saying, this is what God wanted me to know. God wanted me to know his will. And what was going to be his will? Notice verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto what? All men of what thou hast seen and heard. Guess what Paul went on the rest of his life talking about? I was on the road to Damascus and I saw Jesus. Everything else about his life, I was on the road to Damascus. They say, Paul, answer for yourself. Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus. Paul, what do you got to say for yourself? I'm preaching Jesus. I saw him on the road to Damascus. That was his claim to fame, amen. And he said, I didn't know anything else but Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. That's my testimony. That's my witness. That's my claim to fame. By the way, that's ours too, amen. We got saved. That's what we ought to know and tell people, amen. Come back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Notice this. This is to the Ephesian saints. That was to Paul. This is to the Ephesian saints. Ephesians 5:17, you get there before I do, raise your hand. Jerry, read Ephesians 5:17. This is to the Ephesian saints. Anybody else? Paul? Oh, okay, amen. Pastor White, read Ephesians 5:17. Amen. What did Paul tell to these Ephesian saints here? He said, hey, don't be unwise, but be understanding what is the will of the Lord. And by the way, Paul went out of his way to tell them what it was. Amen. So we see again here, he wants this understanding of his will to fill us and control us, because if we know his will, we can do his will. And if we do his will, whose will are we not doing? There it goes. If my children are obeying me, they can't obey somebody else unless they're telling them to do exactly what I'm telling them to do. Amen. And if we're doing exactly what God would have us do, guess what? We cannot get in trouble that way with God. Amen. Here to the Colossae saints. Go over to Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. And again, what are we looking at here? We want to make sure that we understand the will of God, because Satan wants to make us ignorant of the will of God, and it's written down. Who's got Colossians 1:9? Miss Duffy? No, amen. Amen. So Paul is saying to the Colossians, he's saying, you know, as soon as we heard about you guys getting saved, we start praying for you. And we start praying that you can understand what God's will is. Now, notice how deep this is. Notice verse 10. That ye might what? Walk worthy of the Lord. How? Unto all pleasing, being what? Being fruitful in every good work, not bad work, good work. And what? And increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. How? Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all what? Patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Why? Christians are going to suffer. And what should we do? Giving thanks unto who? The Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Paul says, look, I'm writing to you because I want you to know the deep things of God, what God wants you to do. He said, there's so much as you dive into the ocean of God's grace and God's will. There's so much here that you as a church need to know. Why? They were being persecuted just like we are. And they were losing, get this, the preeminence of Christ. He had first place and now he took back seat. What happens at Christmas time? Who takes first seat? Santa Claus? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Santa Claus is coming to town? Who else is out there? Grinch Who Stole Christmas? The snowman that, what's that frozen guy's name? Frosty the Snowman? Frozen guy, amen. Frosty the Snowman, amen. All these things take the front stage, amen. And Jesus Christ takes the back seat. I mean, he's way in the back. I mean, he's got to come up after that movie Frozen, even, amen. And that's not even a Christmas movie. But that's where he comes, amen. And so Paul is saying here, I want you to know God's will so that you don't get bamboozled into being ignorant of God's will, because that's what Satan wants you to do. By the way, this time of the year, many people are ignorant to what this time is really all about. Whose job is it to show them what time it is? Our job. Whose job was it to show the Colossae saints that they needed to know God's will? Paul's job. Paul said, it's my job to get you to know the will of God. It's our job to get our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends to know the will of God. I was sitting out the nativity scene yesterday. And praise God, last year, the several families out in our area actually put a manger scene up. We used to be the only ones. And one of the neighbor girls came by, what you doing? How many of y'all remember Sophia? What you doing, Pastor? She still called me Pastor, amen, even though she didn't come to church. So I'm putting up a nativity scene, amen. And Joseph and Jesus ran out of light, so had to rewire them so they could have some light, amen. But it was just a blessing that she understood what was going on. We need to turn the fans on, brother? Okay. Making sure that they know that, amen. Give you another area here, Colossians, go back to Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6. And in this one, Paul lets them know how they should be doing things. Amen. Ephesians 6:6. Who's got that one? Terrell, go ahead and read that one. Amen. Dealing with the master-servant relationship, he says, if you're a servant, then you should be doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, when you go into work, your bosses should know that you're doing your job. They shouldn't have to be, you know, peeking after the lunch break saying, let me see if Dawson doing his work. You don't want somebody peeking over your shoulder or peeping through the peek hole. Let me see. I did that to Gregory the other day. He was out there playing basketball. I wanted to go spy on him, see how he was doing. So I looked through the window and I could see him in there. And I didn't think he saw me. And after the game, I said, hey, I saw you. He said, that was you out there? I saw somebody peeking through the window. Amen. I said, I'm checking you out to see what you're doing out there. Amen. Take him to the hoop, boy. Slap that shot. Pow. Amen. All right. So he says, doing the will of God from the heart. We should be doing the will of God because it's in our heart. By the way, a boss shouldn't have to stay over us to get do our job, should they? A boss shouldn't have to stay over us to make sure we're not stealing, should they? No. No. I was talking to Brother Reyes, and he said one of the employees went through and was stealing some stuff and went across the scanner. And they, of course they got the camera up there. And as he was trying to walk out the door, they kind of kindly escorted him back into the store. Amen. And said, hey, come on, give us the goods. Amen. Like, who you think you're fooling? They got cameras everywhere. And if they don't have a camera, folks got cell phones on you going through the store. Amen. And you, I mean, so we, it behooves us to be honest. Amen. What do you say? Doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. Go over to see what Jesus said about the will of God in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34. If you get there first, raise your hand before I get there. 434. Amen. Pastor White. Amen. How many of y'all like to eat? Hey, we saw that this morning. Man was made to eat. Amen. We were made to eat. There are those that they live to eat and those that eat to live. Amen. I don't know where you fall at with that, but Jesus said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, I live to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Glory to God. Preacher. I mean, what if Cantillion and Brittany said, raised up saying, I live to do what you want. You and mama want me to do. Amen. You'd probably fall over and have a heart attack. Amen. I know I would. My kids said that. That dad, we live to do what you want us to do. Oh, I fall out. Amen. I mean, if a kid said that, it would just startle us. But Jesus is the great example. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Notice this. And to finish his work. Because many kids will start a job. It's the finishing part that I'm after. Amen. Hey, come on. Help me rake some leaves here. Let's get these weeds out of the grass. Oh, daddy, it's hot. Amen. We only been out here for 2 seconds. What are you talking about? Amen. I'm passing out. I'm thirsty. We got 30 seconds picking weed. What are you talking about? Let's finish the job. Who's out there picking the weeds? Dad's out there. Kids back in there. Can we get a cool pop? Now, we want to finish the job. Amen. What did Jesus say? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to what? Finish his work. Amen. And this is how we want to stand. Go to Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. And this is speaking about Epaphras, who is a servant of God. Colossians 4:12. This is how you and I want to stand at the end of a day's work as we've been working for the Lord. Colossians 4:12. Who's got that one? G.
Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God.
Amen. He said, this guy, Epaphras, he said, he's one of you. He's a servant of Christ. He said, he's saluting you as well. Paul saying he's with me, but he says, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. He says, he's constantly praying for you that you can stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He's standing in the gap for you because he wants you to do the will of God. Now, praise God that we have people that desire for us to do the will of God. I talk to Pastor Bennett all the time talking about, hey, how's everybody doing? He names you by name. Brother Baldwin, the same thing. Names you by name. Talk to Pastor Dr. Nelson. Name some of you by names. Hey, how is this one doing? How's that one doing? Amen. And it's just a blessing to see what God does in the life of a believer. Amen. Let me read you a quote here. If Satan can make you and I ignorant of God's will, let me read that again. If Satan can make you ignorant of God's will, he will rob you of all the glorious blessings God has planned for your life. Amen. Think about that. You will make bad decisions, get involved in sinful activities, and build the wrong kind of life. And sad to say, you will influence others to go wrong too. Amen. Think about that. If we're going in the wrong direction, it's hard to tell somebody else going the right direction because we're creatures of habit and we follow what we see. I was talking to G2 about the craze in the basketball world with these high schoolers wearing their britches with the tag outside, Pastor White. I said, now they saw one guy doing it. Everybody's got his little tag hanging out. Now everybody's got to run around with their tag hanging down. One person saw the britches hanging down. Everybody got their britches hanging down. It's a fact. We are followers by nature. And so everybody wants to do what they see. Is there no originality? Amen. Everybody follows that which they see. And so if we're going wrong, we will lead others in the wrong way too. It goes on to say this, Christians who are ignorant of God's will lose the enjoyment of God's peace and his power. They cannot grow into their full potential, nor can they accomplish what God has planned for them. Instead of traveling first class, they travel second or third class, complaining all the way. They live like paupers because they have cut themselves off from God's great wealth. They spend their lives even worse. They waste their lives when they could be investing their lives in the will of God. Amen. Hey, what happens? That's what happens when Satan makes us ignorant of God's will and we fulfill his will by default. We will go our way or the way that Satan has desired for us. What's our defense here? This is the last point here. The Satan's power, amen. Very, very easy, very, very simple. Come over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 8. Psalms 40 and verse number 8. Jesus said, it is written over there in Matthew 4, but in Psalms 40, notice what the psalmist says about the will of God. Psalms 40 and verse 8. Who is there already that has that? G?
I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is in my heart.
Now think about that. Contemplate that statement just for a minute here, because of course this is David, and of course prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, I delight to do thy will. Do we delight to do the will of God? Or sometimes it is scary. Sometimes, if we're honest, it's scary. It's scary. It was scary for me to be the pastor of this church. It was scary for me to set out and try to plant this church. It was scary for me to go into that building program, preacher, and try to raise that money. That was scary. But was it the will of God? Yes. Sometimes the will of God is scary, if we're honest. And sometimes, even though we may delight in doing it, we're afraid to do it. Hey, what got Jonah in trouble? He didn't delight to do the will of God, and he was afraid to do it. And what did he do? He went to the alternate route. And where did that lead him? Down, down, down. And then he came back and did the will of God. And guess what he was about doing it? Bitter, bitter, bitter. And he didn't get better. The last time we see Jonah, where was he at? Sitting on the side of the tree, looking to see what's going to happen, complaining, mad. And what did God say? Hey, Jonah, you know, can't I do what I want to do with these sheep? They don't know what's going on. And he said, and they don't know what's happening. Can't I do that? And Jonah, mad, because people got right with God. Can you imagine that? He got mad because people got right with God. Amen. Hey, enemies turned to friend. What does he say here? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within where? My heart. Hey, how does it get in my heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Preacher's right on track. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's got to get in my heart first of all. So this is the saint's power, the inspired word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Who's got that? G, read verse number 9. Amen. So if we're going to get our way cleansed, what should we do? Take heed according to thy word. What does verse 9, verse 10 lead to? With my what? Whole heart have I sought thee. But notice this. He said, with everything I got, I've sought thee. But what does he have to come back and say? Why would he say something like that? He knows himself. He knows human nature. He knows we will wander. Amen. So he says, wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By, of course, taking heed thereto according to thy word. He said, with my whole heart, I've sought after thee, Lord. He said, but oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Why? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his what? Own way. Amen. I was around sheep in Belgium all the time. And I tell you what, it was not uncommon to see a sheep with a, just a pasture full of grass to come out there and their neck is stuck in the fence trying to get the grass on the other side of the fence. It was not uncommon. I mean, and you're going to bat, bat, you know, and you can try to help my bat. They're afraid of me, bat. And you say, you got a whole field of grass here. Why would you stick your low down neck out here to get some grass over here when it's the same grass as over there and you don't have a fence? Bat, bat. Isn't that like us sometimes? We've got all of God's will on this side. We want to go out there and get that one thing outside of the will of God. And we stick our heads out there and we get stuck and we can't get our necks out of the fence. Amen. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What's the key? Verse 11. Thy word have I hid where? In mine heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, the saint's power is the word of God. What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And what did that get Jesus Christ? The fleeing of Satan for a while. Folks, if we're going to stand against Satan's strategies and his tactics, then our defense is going to be the word of God. And by the way, it's always going to be the word of God. Nothing has changed. I mean, we've got this idea that one day God's going to make us, you know, this person that got this armor on that we can just, you know, and no, God, it's always going to be about his word. Amen. We have nothing to fight in our own power except the word of God. Amen. What did Jesus fight with? Word of God. Could he have said, Satan, you're bound for 1,000 years right now? Yeah, he could have said that. But he didn't. He said, it is written. Why did he say that? To give you and I the clue that the defense is not in us, but it's in the word of God. It's always been in the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We can say, I delight to do thy will when we have the word of God in our heart. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Guess what, folks? We've got to put it in there. It's not going to get there by itself. When you and I were born, we were not born with the word of God in our hearts. We have to put it there. That means we have to memorize scripture. By the way, how many of y'all know how to get home? How'd you learn how to get home? Terrell, you don't even drive. How'd you learn how to get home? By watching. That's how we learn. The word of God comes by us getting it in there. And now, just like knowing how to get home, we know what the word of God says and we just do it. Amen. I can get out of my car right now and say, okay, G2, which way to go? Right, left, right. He know where QT is at. He got a gift card. He's like, Dad, can we stop by QT? How you know where QT is? I've seen it before. He knows where it's at. And so he wanted to treat me tonight. Amen. He didn't say that part. Amen. I delight to do thy will, oh Dad. No. Amen. What am I saying here, folks? We have the defense of the word of God. And that's our power. So let me recap this outline again. As a deceiver, Satan's target is our mind. And it's based on our previous direction. As a deceiver, Satan's tactics are lies. He's going to appeal to your flesh and my flesh. As a deceiver, Satan's purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will. And then the saint's defense then is the inspired word to know God's will. There is no wool pulled over our eyes. There is nothing that Satan can do about it when we know the word of God. By the way, Joshua had one mistake that he made. Who remembers what that one mistake is that Joshua made? What was the one mistake? We don't find any flaws about Joshua except one mistake. What is it?
Wasn't it when he didn't pray to God about the Midianites?
He didn't seek God's counsel. That's the only mark we find. Now, Moses had several, and one kept him out of the promised land. But Joshua's only thing that he did, he didn't seek God's counsel. Wow. Folks, we have God's counsel contained in the word of God. Let's make sure we use it and make sure we follow it to be God's soldiers in this war against sin. Amen. By the way, Satan will try to attack you, trip you up, and deceive you and try to twist this word up. Is that not what he did to Jesus Christ? Yeah. He said, oh, you want to quote scripture? So, huh? Okay. Well, it's written that you can cast yourself down and the angels will catch you. And what Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Hey, okay, well, look at all this stuff out here. I'll give you all that. And Jesus is probably thinking, I'm getting all that anyway. It's all mine. What are you talking about? But Satan said, I'll give it to you right now. You got to suffer right now. You got to go to the cross right now. I give it to you right now. And what did he say? He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What did he do? He kept coming back with this. Ironically, his scriptures were all in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's a good book. Amen. And so you and I have the same book that Jesus Christ quoted from, and we can stand. Amen. Let's leave here tonight equipped with the word and the will of God, knowing what God wants us to do, and then let's just do it. And when you fall, get right back up. Get back up, just like a child. Child doesn't do what you want them to do. You know, you're supposed to do that, amen? And do it again. Just confess it. Say, Lord, I didn't do that. And do it. It's just that easy. Don't just quit and say, I'm sitting on the sideline because I messed up. You get back up. Why? I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, God, and giving us opportunity to serve you in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray that you would enable us and, Lord, embolden us to do the will of God. Lord, there are many people around us that need to hear the gospel. Help us to give them gospel tracts. Help us to be a good witness to them. Help us to be a testimony like Paul was to the lost and dying world. And he kept saying, I was on the road to Damascus over and over again, sharing what Jesus Christ did for him in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Help us to share with others what we know and who we know, and letting them know that Jesus is still the reason for the season. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and I pray that you would, Lord, minister in us, minister through us. Help us to leave here more knowledgeable, more Christ-like in what we think and what we say and what we do, and Lord, a little bit more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Lord. The word of God is clear, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, from glory to glory, help us tonight, Lord, to be changed more and more into the image of Christ-likeness. Thank you for loving us. Give us safety in our travel. Raise up our ill ones, Lord, and bring back the vacationing ones. And Lord, help us to go out on Monday shining for Jesus. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.